Hello and welcome to the Musicians Map podcast. My name is Kane Power. This podcast is about providing information and advice to musicians looking to get started, get ahead, and grow success in music. It's about breaking down the barriers between artist and industry and giving real-life practical advice about music. I'll try to have a new episode each week, and I'll definitely have lots of knowledgeable guests to help me out and lend their authority to our topics. We've got a lot to discuss today. We're going to be talking about artist management, what you should be looking for, and when you should be looking for representation. We're going to talk about auditions, upskilling, and diversifying your skill in order to become a better performer. But perhaps most importantly, we're going to distinguish between talent and skill, and we're going to talk about the ever-elusive X factor. What is it, and do you have it? And lending her wisdom and authority to these topics is my incredible guest this week, Lily the Chihuahua. Say something, Lily. You're not interested. No, she's not my guest this week. She's just frightened of the construction noises going on outside, which you can probably hear. That's a bonus for those of you tuning in on YouTube. No, lending her wisdom and authority to these topics, my incredible guest this week is Sharon Power of Bold Artist Management. It's big and it's all super important, so let's dive right in. So, any introduction that I could do wouldn't do it justice. So if you wouldn't mind introducing yourself and telling us a bit about how you got into what you're doing and what it is exactly that you do.
Okay. All right. Well, my name's Sharon Power and I'm a talent manager specifically for actors. And I have been doing this now for 32, almost 33 years. In 2007, I expanded into Sydney, Australia. In 2009, I expanded into Melbourne, Australia. In 2011, I kept on my little journey and expanded into Los Angeles. And then in 2012, New York. And in 2016, London. Mm. So I continue to walk around the globe looking for exciting new acting talent. And many of those actors are musicians as well. So from my point of view, they cross over quite a lot. Mm. And so here I am talking to you.
Nice. Brilliant. And what's the name of your agency?
The agency is Bold Artist Management.
Bold Artist Management, ladies
and its latest invention.
Brilliant. And for those of you wondering about our name, Sharon is my auntie on my father's side. It is a family-run podcast. So I want to go back a few months ago.
Yes.
Maybe a couple of months after I got back into the country.
Mm-hmm.
I think Ruth and I had come to stay or something. And you started talking to me about the large amount of emails that you get on a daily and weekly basis from musicians mm-hmm. approaching you, looking for representation.
Yeah.
And that was actually one of the things that sparked an idea to start Musicians Map in the first place, thinking, what are all these musicians doing? Yes. And maybe there's a way that we can help them.
Mm-hmm. Good idea.
So can you maybe just explain to me, explain to everyone that's listening what those emails are and what happens?
Okay. Basically, we have an application process for actors, which is on our website. And what happened was because we called the company Bold Artist Management, the connotation, of course, includes musicians, which at this stage we don't represent. But what we started getting was quite a few emails from young, generally speaking, artists who had either started and didn't know what to do next. They literally had what they considered to be a talent. They might have recorded, or they have recorded at least one song because they've sent it to me with their email. Mm. And literally they're asking for help. And you know, I can't help them because that's not my area of expertise. But the thing is that managers generally can't help them at that stage. Mm. So what you're doing, I think, is fantastic because it's actually going to take them through the journey that they have to go on before they get to a manager.
Yeah.
And I think that's fantastic.
So what are these people actually sending?
They generally send a link to a song that they've written. Sometimes it's on YouTube, sometimes it's on, you know, another platform. And generally it's just them singing. You know, some of them are quite professional, mm-hmm. and some of them are totally not professional. And it didn't really matter because you can tell talent when you hear it, yeah. you know, and you like what you like. And even I, and I'm not a musician and I'm not a musician's manager, even I know what I like. So my problem was that I couldn't advise them because I didn't have anywhere to send them. I mean, a music manager is not going to be interested in most of these people at the stage that they're at. But I couldn't tell them what they needed to do because that's not what I know. So, and you know, it's easier, way easier for actors or aspiring actors to get that information. But it's really, really difficult for musicians. There is nowhere to go.
Yeah. Okay, so what do you think these, musicians are looking for?
A magic bullet,
yeah,
essentially. And that's the sad thing about it. And I mean, actors do that too, you know. They think, oh, I'm going to get a manager and that's all I have to do. Mm. And the manager will do everything for me. And, of course, it doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that for actors. We can advise them, but generally speaking, a lot of what they do or have to do before they get to a point where they're going to get professional work of any sort is stuff that they've got to do themselves.
Yeah.
And the same thing applies to musicians. They've got to get to a certain standard so that a manager says, yes, I can see potential in this person, I can see earning power. Mm. Because, you know, you have to remember that managers and agents are commission-based. So while we're happy to invest time and effort and even money in some cases to a talent, regardless of what their skill is, it has to be relatively short term. They have to start making money because if they don't, then we're not making money and we can't pay our staff and our premises and all the rest of it. So it's really important that the musicians learn that they've got to take certain steps before they get to applying to a manager, because they've got to take a package to that manager so that the manager goes, oh, yes, I'm interested in this person.
Mm.
And, you know, that brings me to another point, and that is that when you sign with a manager, you haven't signed the Holy Grail. What you've done is you've found somebody who is interested in you and is prepared to invest in you to a certain extent. Yeah. But if you sit back and go, right, that's it, you know, I've got a manager, I'm good, and then in 6 months' time start knocking on their door saying, why isn't anything happening? Then you've got it all wrong.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we're not the Holy Grail. Mm. We're basically advisors and mentors and negotiators. And yes, we can link you with some people, but you've got to have the product.
Yeah.
You've got to have the package to sell us.
So, I mean, because I've been that musician before.
Mm.
I've been the guy sending out emails. I did it for years. Even in my first band, you know, we were sending out, trying to get, you know, funding.
Oh, embarrassing.
No, but you know, but we're trying to get funding, and we're trying to, you know, just because you don't know.
Yeah,
and,
that's
and
right.
You think,
you don't
and,
know.
And you see, you know, all these famous musicians with managers and record deals, and you sort of look around and go, well, I guess you just be bold and approach people and send emails. And now looking back on it, you think there's so much more that you need to know. So we've gone over that a bit. What should we actually be looking for in representation?
You have to find a manager who, one, works in your genre or niche. So you need to know what your niche is, and you need to know what your genre is. You know, and a lot of artists will say to me, oh, I'm a rapper, or I'm a pop singer. But you need to know more than that.
Yeah.
And you need to have the package that goes with that genre. There's no point sending me an email, or any manager sending us an email saying, you know, I'm a rapper, and then attaching a pop song, or vice versa. You know, you have to know, and you have to have the package that goes with the genre and the niche. And then you've got to find the manager that fits in there, because, you know, some work in that area and some don't. And particularly with the smaller management companies, they probably are very, very specialised. Mm. So they do, you know, as a musician, it's really important to find the person who, one, works in your niche and with your genre, and two, has at least other artists within that genre or niche who are making inroads or starting to make inroads, who you can say, well, look, you know, this person, this manager, whoever it is, has got some people working. And it won't be everyone, because no manager has 100% success rate.
Yeah.
You know, our success rate varies, but it's probably, you know, on the underside of 50% in many cases, particularly with musicians, I would think.
Mm.
But if you've got the package and you're solid in what you know, and you have the skills and the education, then, the manager is your next big test, really. And the easiest way to find a good manager is to look who's representing the guys who are up above you, and then try and find a junior in that company, a junior manager, or someone who's just starting out but who has worked with that company or in that genre.
And they're in that niche. Now, there's a great opportunity here to plug my free course, because there is an entire lesson in the free course that is about finding your niche and why it's so important. So there's that. From the back seats over there. Now, I've got, when should they be looking for representation? And I think we've kind of touched on that a little bit. Basically, we're thinking what you just said about trying to find someone and looking around at the people and the artists around you that maybe have representation. When you're doing that, you're probably going to notice, right, that they're at quite a higher level.
Yes, very.
Unless you're already there, in which case you probably already have a manager.
Yes.
So, I mean, I guess what I'm trying to say is, you won't really know until you get there.
No. The truth, in particularly in the music industry, I think, is that the manager is more likely to find you than you find them.
Yeah.
And it happens in the acting industry to a certain extent, but less so. Because, as I said, we have, you know, particularly, for example, in Bold, we have development strategies. So an actor coming into our agency gets those step-ups, whereas there's no management company for musicians that really does that to any large degree that I know of. So the thing is that the artist has to get out there, to put their stuff out there. They have to be good and they have to have the package, and the manager will find them. In the same way that a label will probably find them.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the world of the internet has, you know, changed everything. I mean, look at Justin Bieber, you know, that's how he was discovered.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So what you're saying is that by the time you're ready to be looking for a manager, managers will probably be approaching you. And the same thing as labels. So you've mentioned the package a couple of times. Now, what specifically do you mean by that?
Okay, a package is for anybody, any artist, and it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether you're an actor or a musician or a model or a dancer, whatever it might be. Your package must include headshots and professional headshots. It must also include a resume of the stuff that you've done and training. So, for example, with a musician, if you're a singer, where did you learn to sing? What singing lessons have you learned? What's your vocal range? If you're, playing an instrument, where did you learn? All of those things should be written down so that they're
like
in black and white.
Like a press kit almost.
It is exactly that, a press kit. So then you attach to that a link to anything that you've recorded, and, you know, again, make it professional. Don't record something in your bedroom and send it through, because it's not going to sell you. It's what it does is scream amateur.
Yeah.
In the same way that someone who sends through a snapshot that mum's taken at home screams amateur, you know. And if you want to be taken seriously as a professional, then it's got to be professional headshots. professionally presented music or reels if it's an actor, and press. So if you've gigged, you know, if you've been at a gig and you've been in the local newspaper or you've been in a magazine or there's been something online about you, put that in your package because it tells people that you are starting to become known. And then the big one, social media. You know, if you've got a social media following, stick that in your package, on your resume. You know, I have Facebook. This is my Facebook address. I have X number of followers.
Yeah.
And you know, same with Instagram and any social media that you've got at all. So the whole package is quite a lot of information. But what you're doing is you're selling yourself. You're selling not just your talent, but you're selling your potential. So what you're saying is, you're saying to this manager, you know, hey, yes, I've got talent, and yes, I've worked hard because I've learned these skills, and I've taken my talent and I've developed it, and I've got to this point. But not only that, I've spent some time and I've got a whole pile of followers who will be loyal to me, and I have performed at these gigs. And so those people who have been at those gigs are probably part of my social media following. And what you're saying to the manager is, I'm going to earn you money.
So
because I'm a business. And so,
essentially, you're pitching your business.
Yes.
And you should treat it that way.
Yes.
And also, I guess, the contents of this press kit is essentially your career to that point.
To that point.
And if your career hasn't, you know, done much up until that point, then perhaps you're not really a business worth investing in just yet. No. And you probably need to continue working on your business.
Yeah. I have a catchphrase that I use all the time, and that is that, you know, talent is one thing, but skill and perseverance and proactivity are the key ingredients. You know, so it doesn't matter what your medium is, it doesn't matter whether you're a musician or an actor, if you are not persevering and you're not prepared to invest in yourself by being proactive and spending money and spending time to learn and to educate yourself about the industry and the people in it, and you know, that's another thing, will remind me to go back to that, then you're not ready. You're not ready for a manager.
So I think a lot of people listening might need to take a step back.
Yeah. I mean, as I said, it's easier for actors. And if I had $1 million, I would set up an agency or a management company that did this for these people. But I don't have to now because you've done this.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a lot cheaper for them than paying a manager 15% for the next, you know, however long.
Yeah. Yes. It's just, I mean, it's talking about this, is it's bringing up so much stuff that I've already been through myself. Just this exact thing, you know, just over the years, constantly sending everything I ever do out to labels and managers and, you know, trying to get noticed by them.
Yeah.
And in actual fact, it was just a waste of my time and my energy, which I should have been putting back into my music and my career, because I just wasn't ready.
You're probably more spending money as well.
Yeah.
That, you know, you're spending money on the wrong things. You know, and again, you know, this is, you know, the musician's map. Now that I've had a look at it, it deals with that. And it says, no, don't spend your money here, spend your money there.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that that's really important for them to understand, because any artist has a long, long road ahead of them. And, you know, I don't know what the stats are for musicians, but for actors, it's something around 2.2% of people who call themselves actors will make a living wage.
Yeah.
So, or more. So, you know, if you take into account your A-listers and your even your B-listers, and you go right down to people who work essentially as actors, and they might work 3 or 4 or 5 times a year at most, you know, they might be making $30,000 to $50,000 a year.
Yeah.
That's, you know, how do you measure success?
Mm.
You know, if you want to be famous, then, you know, that's, you're not going to be famous on $30,000 a year.
Yeah. Yeah. But you can still be successful.
You
on
can
30,
totally be successful. Yeah.
I'm big on that. On success.
Measure it. It is totally not measurable, because it's a very independent thing. You know, I have people on my roster who work once a year and have a fantastic day or week on set, and as far as they're concerned, they are hugely successful.
Yeah.
And that's fine by me.
Yep.
That's absolutely fine by me. If they're happy, I'm happy.
And that's the main thing.
Yes. And so same goes for musicians.
So let's just backtrack a tiny bit. Why don't musicians necessarily need a manager? I mean, we know about, you know, how the industry has changed and how a lot of it is online. Why do we need a manager until we're becoming successful?
Because the manager's not going to help you. It's not going to be useful to you. Again, you know, it comes back to you've got to take those steps and you've got to be ready. You know, it's the same for actors who want to work, for example, in Hollywood. If you are not American, then you've got to go through certain steps to be able to work in America. You can't just walk in and say, hey, I'm here. There's certain things you've got to do. And the same thing applies to musicians. You've got to take those steps. You've got to take the steps to get to your package so that you've got something that a manager goes, yes, this person is, I'm going to invest in this person because this person is going to make me money.
Yeah.
Because ultimately I'm a business.
Mm.
And so, you know, if I'm a commission manager, as musician and music managers are, generally speaking, we need someone who's going to make us money because otherwise how do we pay our bills?
Yeah.
I could have 100 musicians on my books and none of them working. Well, nothing's going to happen for any of us.
Yeah. So we don't, musicians shouldn't even be looking. They don't need a manager until managers are really looking for them.
That's
or they're finding
exactly
themselves
the
in a situation where they are getting a lot of attention, getting some income, and are thinking, I don't know where to go.
Yeah.
I need help.
I've had a couple that I have helped, in fact, who have been approached by labels.
Yeah.
And they just, you know, literally the label had said, look, we can do this, this and this, and here's a contract, sign it. And that's a really dangerous area because, you know, you've got nobody as your advocate. You're just literally looking there. And, you know, for any artist, that's a real ego trip. It's like, wow, I've got someone who's really after my material. And it's like, where's the pen? Let me sign. And I think that's the time. You know, if not before, that's the time that you need a manager. You need somebody in your corner, someone who's going to fight for you and make sure that you don't give away the rights to your music. I mean, I have heard horror stories from the music industry of musicians who have signed away the rights to their music for years, decades, and it's a huge fight to get it back. And I mean, of course, the labels are businesses. You know, they're just trying to get the best deal for them as they can possibly do. It's not vindictive.
No.
It's business.
Yep.
But
and if you don't know about business,
exactly,
you might need a manager.
You might need a manager. Exactly.
So, okay, let's just change. I think we've reached the end of that kind of. How far we can go on that for the moment. Let's totally just change entirely.
Oh, hang on, I better have a glass of wine then.
Yep, get it in. Now, I've heard you say that you advise some of your actors to pursue musical interests, perhaps learn instruments, perhaps become competent at singing in order to upskill and sort of widen their horizons when it comes to parts. Would you say it's worth the other sort of the flip side? Is it worth musicians getting their acting chops or their dancing skills?
All of that. Very much so. For two reasons. The first thing is that it's all about exposure. And it doesn't matter how you get your exposure. You know, I mean, I could go back generations to the Osmonds, the Cassidy family, you know, I mean, they started out actually as musicians who acted, who got their profile, who became famous, and then went on and became fully fledged musicians. And in this day and age, it's even more so because if you're acting and you happen to appear in a really high profile show and get a lot of following and have a lot of success in that area, then it will automatically flow over to your music. So if you're good enough and you turn up to do a gig somewhere, people will come because you are this person, whoever the character is.
Who's launching music careers off the back of their acting skills these days? Like, what's that dude, Grey Worm? Cheap Seats?
What?
What's Grey Worm? What's his...
Okay, this is an overdub, and the guy's name is Rally Ritchie.
Anyway, it's Rally Ritchie. He's got a successful music career. Donald Glover.
Yes, definitely.
I can't remember what his... He calls himself musically as well. There's higher profile ones, obviously.
Childish Gambino.
You know, there's Jared Leto, successful actor, successful band. Idris Elba. I mean...
It goes on and on. It's been happening for, you know, I went back to when I was a kid or before, and it's been happening forever. And it will continue to happen forever. I mean, they're artists.
Yeah.
You know, I mean...
Exactly. And they're putting themselves out there in one of many ways in which they can, and then capitalising on that to promote their other interests.
Yeah. As long as the exposure's positive and good...
Mm.
You know, I mean, a career killer is quite often reality TV, not always, but quite often reality TV. And just simply because, you know, you're all of a sudden put yourself in a different, slightly different box. But you do, I mean, I think you have to be careful when you're making a transition from one to the other and make sure that you do it well. And so it might be if you start out as a musician but go into acting to build your profile, then you'll have a manager who's advising you on your acting, because as I've said several times, it's easier to get an acting manager.
Mm.
They will then start to help you cross over into your music. And that's really important, that you don't cross over badly.
Yeah.
You know, so it has to be managed. That's quite an important thing, because otherwise it will just all fall over and you become somebody who's neither.
I mean, from what I've been thinking, even from a few steps below, you know, being a famous actor and then being able to, you know, promote your music on the side, getting your acting chops up, learning to dance, it's going to make you a more well-rounded artist. But not only that, it's going to make you a more well-rounded performer, and it's probably going to make you a more endearing performer. When you're on stage, you know, you've got movement, you've got expression, and that's one of the biggest things, you know, when you're presenting your music to people is to convey that expression to them.
You've got to convey
their sentiment and connect with your audience. And if you are doing that not only through your instrument or your music, but through your movement and through your body language and perhaps through some fantasy or through acting as well.
Mm.
It's just going to be much better, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I mean, the same thing goes, you know, we say to actors, you know, build your skills, particularly musical skills. You know, triple threat actors, for example, are really popular at the moment, you know, because they can act, they can sing and they can dance, or they can act, they can sing and they can play a musical instrument. And more, particularly in this day and age, we're seeing a lot of musicals. I mean, you know, La La Land. You're seeing a lot of that kind of thing. Mamma Mia, you know, where they're shooting the second version of that at the moment, or the second in the prequel, if you like. And so those kind of skills are totally interchangeable. So, you know, you might have a singer who has never been an actor, but they could easily land an acting role just based on their skill as a singer.
Yeah.
And vice versa.
Yeah, and it's got to help when you're going for parts.
Oh, of course.
Or going for...
Well, it makes you more interesting.
Trying to get into a band, or, you know, trying to kind of pursue a career.
Mm.
If you can say, oh, by the way, I am an actor, or I am a dancer, or something as well, you've got more of a bit of chance.
Well, it makes you more interesting. And it also stretches the connection thing, because when you go for an audition for something, and whether it be to be in a band or for a TV show or whatever it might be, you have to stand out from the crowd.
Yeah.
There's gazillions of them out there. So if you can stand out from the crowd by connecting with the casting director or whoever it is that's running the audition, by having a skill or a particular... I don't know what you'd call it, a particular interest that they relate to, then you've connected with the casting director, which makes the audition process so much easier. So, yeah, I mean, you know, I've known actors to go into an acting audition and get totally nervous and blow their lines and burst into song, just simply to calm themselves down. Yeah. And, I mean, they stand out. I mean, I'm not recommending that for everybody, but that sometimes it works.
Okay, so let's talk about auditions.
Right.
So
that's that one thing everyone hates. Yes.
Yeah. So we all have to do it.
Yes.
I mean, and when I'm when I'm talking about auditions, I mean for actors, you know, actual auditions, for musicians trying to get parts in shows or plays or as the band in a live stage show, mm-hmm. it's even down to joining a group, because, you know, you always, it's essentially, it is an audition. When mm-hmm. you get into a room with people and they say, okay, let's see what you can do. Mm-hmm. Are you good enough to join us?
Mm.
That's an audition as well. So let's start with the more professional auditions. How do they work?
It varies considerably. Acting auditions, any audition is really fast, generally yeah. speaking. In fact, I think musicians, when they're auditioning for a band or something, actually get a fairer go than sometimes actors do. You know, for an example, musical theatre, which is, you know, sort of a little bit of a crossover. Mm. If you can sing, then you go into a room and you sing a little bit. And if they like what they hear in that little bit, and it might literally be, you know, sort of a chorus, or it might only be a chorus, it might be a whole verse, who knows. But you only sing a small amount. You'll get 30 seconds.
Yeah.
And if they like you, then you'll go into the next room and do a dance audition. And again, it might be 30 seconds.
There we go.
And if they like you, then you'll go into another room and you might do an acting audition. You know, you might read a monologue. And again, it might only be a minute or less.
Mm.
And if they don't like your singing, you go home. Simple yep. as that. You don't get the automatic chance to show that you're stronger as a dancer. And so the same thing happens with actors. You know, if they've got an acting audition, they go into the room, they do the scene, whatever it might be, in front of the camera. If the casting director has, as they've walked into the room, said, oh yes, this person's right for this role, I'm going to give them a shot,
mm.
and their first read is good, then they might get a second read. But if the casting director, as they've walked into the room, going, no, this person's all wrong for this role, this is not what we're looking for, they'll get first read, they're gone, they're out.
Yeah.
But if they do a good read, but they're still not quite right for the role, they may get a second chance to see if the casting director can pull that thing out that she's looking for. So as far as musicians are concerned, they actually get perhaps a better break. I've never experienced a musician's audition, so I don't know, but I would imagine you get to play a song, at least a whole piece, and probably get to have a conversation with the people who are auditioning you.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen in the acting world.
Every audition that I've done, you definitely play a song, if not three songs. You probably organised, you know, three or four songs to play beforehand, probably covers. And you'll go in and you'll check each other out and, you know, look each other up and down. And then you'll just get on with it and play the music. And you'll know if you click with the other people, and you'll know really quick.
Yeah.
And they'll know if you're any good, because you can finish the song.
Yeah.
And play it correctly. And then after that, yeah, it's so that's the technical element. But after that, it just comes down to your personality and whether you're, you know, especially if you're joining bands or you're working with people like music producers or songwriters or any, you know, or collaborators, it's all about
the
person. It's all about how you get along with each other and whether that relationship could work.
Yeah.
So essentially, that's kind of a relief in some ways, because you can know your stuff and go in there and you know, play the songs really well, and you still might not get the part because you're just not a match.
Yeah.
Which takes a lot of pressure off, I think, because if you're just not right, then, you know, you just be yourself.
Yeah.
And you're probably going to get the best chance, because if you're not right for the part, you're not. So what can we do to prepare for auditions before? So we've got an audition. Amazing. We're going to go jam for a band, or we're going to apply for a part. Let's say we're going for a musical. That's a great analogy to use the crossover. What's the sort of things that we can do beforehand?
The first thing is do your homework and find out what the genre is. You know, there is no point going to an audition for something that is doo-wop and playing heavy metal. You know, you have to stick with the genre. And I mean, if you're into heavy metal, chances are you're not going to be going for a doo-wop audition anyway, but you know what I mean.
Yep.
And so it's do your homework and find out what the genre is and find out what the niche is, and are they right for you?
Mm.
Because if they're not, then your personality isn't going to match either.
Yeah.
You know, so that's the first thing. And the second thing is to read the instructions you've been given for the audition. So many actors don't read the instructions. And
oh my God, we're having a fire sale. Oh, the burning!
Yeah. You know, we had some just recently in Australia, and after the first day of auditioning, the casting director sent out an email to all the agents and said, please ask your artists to read this information again and do not do this, 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 and this. Basically what it boiled down to was that the artists either hadn't read the information or had not taken it as gospel.
Yep.
And so they went, okay, well, I'm going to go and audition for this, and it says that I've got to take sheet music, but I don't have sheet music, so I'm going to take my guitar and provide my own music.
Hmm.
Well,
no,
they won't let you do it.
Yep.
It's like, okay, no, you can't. If you can't provide the sheet music, you're not going to sing. So therefore, you may as well go home. So you've wasted your time. Hmm. So read the instructions.
Okay.
And if you have a manager, ask questions. You know, if you don't know, ask questions, because we're the conduit to the casting director. So we can go back and say to the casting director, look, we don't necessarily name the artist. We'll just say, look, we've just kind of got a question about this, this, and this. Can you just clarify that for us so that we can clarify it for the artist?
Mm-hmm.
And the last thing is be yourself.
Yeah.
Don't try and pretend to be something else. Yep. You know, I read an article just recently by an actor, and she said that she had a really unsuccessful start to her career, and she was quite a late starter. And she realises now that the reason was because she was going into her auditions, and as she walked in the door, she was going, okay, what are they looking for? How can I be that person?
Mm.
So she was turning herself, she was basically being a chameleon. And she was turning herself into whatever she thought they wanted to say, which was absolutely the wrong thing to do. And she never got a role. She wasn't looking authentic. She wasn't, not only was she not authentic, but she was sometimes misreading the room.
Yeah.
Because they were saying things like, you know, you get the written brief particularly for an acting character. And they might say, you know, we want X, Y, Z. But what they're looking for is an essence.
Mm.
And it's something you know when they walk in the room. Have they got that essence? But if you walk in the room and suddenly turn into something different, then you've missed it.
Yeah,
it's gone. So be yourself.
That's it.
That's it. That's the title. That's the magic.
That's my actual advice as well. Be yourself and learn the lyrics.
Well, yeah, read the instructions, learn the lines, the same thing.
The amount of singers that I've auditioned and that show up and we say, this is the song, you know, beforehand, 2 weeks beforehand, and they rock up and they know the first line and that's it, you know, and then they just grunt and growl through the rest of the song. Come on, man. So people, do your research, do your rehearsal and be yourself.
I think of that song, I think of that scene in Love Actually.
Ruthie.
Hey, drinks,
drinks, lady.
Drinks, lady.
Love Actually.
Love Actually. You know where he's in the studio and he's trying to sing the Christmas song. He keeps fluffing the lines because he's completely not learned them and he's trying to sing the old song. It's classic. Oh, that's exactly right. And it applies to
that guy. He's good.
He's great. And the thing is that's the same for actors. Don't go into an acting audition and not know your lines. All that is unprofessional.
Yeah.
It's amateur.
It's amateur, and we're looking at being professionals at people.
Exactly. Okay. Being an artist is a business.
Yeah.
And when you realise that, then it changes everything. Oh, I'm actually still... just a little bit, please.
Okay, so let's move on from auditions. We're kind of going backwards in time. We've started at getting managers, and we're working right back to the start. And
yep.
Before you have an audition, there's a myth, and we talked about it before, and it's something that people say to musicians a lot, and they say, oh wow, congratulations on your achievement, you're so talented, and they mean it as a compliment, and it's something that's been said to myself and to a lot of people that I've played music with over the years, and as a musician, even though you take it as a compliment and it's nice, you still a kind of thinking, yeah, but my talent only got me so far. That's 20 years worth of skill. That's 20 years worth of hard work, you know, that I've put in to get the skill to be able to play like that. Mm. That, and then you say it's talented, you're writing it off as something that I was born with, which I really, really wasn't. So I want to try and make a difference and clear up the difference between talent and skill. And it totally applies to actors. It totally applies to anyone across most fields, actually, artistic and otherwise. Mm. You know, people are born with talents for all kinds of things. But even if you don't, even if you aren't born with the talent, you can create the skill.
Yes.
Okay, so can we make a difference between them?
Okay. Talent is your starting point, I guess. And I think for any, if you want to be a musician and you have no sense of rhythm, then you've got a slight problem, haven't you?
Yeah.
I couldn't play the drums, for example, because I had no sense of rhythm. Mm-hmm. So I think that if you're born with that talent, that's fantastic. It's a starting point.
Yeah.
But it is only the start. You know, it's all very well to say, hey, I've got a great singing voice, but do you know how to go on stage and connect with an audience? Do you know how to hit your mark when you go on stage? Because there's always a mark.
Mm.
Do you know how to hold your mic so that you get the right sound at the right time? Do you know if it's a live gig but it's televised, do you know how to follow the stage manager's cues so that you're in the right camera at the right time? All of those things are skills that you pick up that go around the talent. In the same way that if you have great rhythm and you learn to play the drum and you play the drums, you need to learn how to play the drums well.
Yeah.
And you can do that by taking lessons, and you can do that by watching other drummers who are successful and picking up tips from them. But talent is only the starting point.
Yeah.
Did I cut that off enough?
That was absolutely perfect. Essentially exactly what I'm looking for. That's talent is the springboard.
It is, absolutely. And it is for actors as well.
Yeah, I sat down at the drums for the first time, never having played the drums before, and I could play them. And not well, but I could do a beat.
You had the rhythm to do it.
Yeah, and I had the natural rhythm to do it. That was my talent. And that's fine. Everyone has a talent. That was mine. But without years, decades of rehearsal and practice and dedication and hard work, that was all that I had.
Mm, that's right.
Now I have a skill.
And to use you as an analogy, you didn't have the education around the business of being a drummer or a musician that would have enabled you to get to the point, to understand when you got to the point of needing a manager.
Oh, yeah.
Instead of wasting all that time, as you said earlier, because you lacked education in what was required.
It took that long to get educated in that way.
Yes, and you had to educate yourself.
Yeah.
So, from my point of view, what you're doing with the Musician's Map is you're providing the education.
Yeah, read the book.
Yeah.
Read the book.
Yeah. I think this is a fantastic idea because it does. It provides the education around being a musician, the business of being a musician.
Mm.
And that's what it's all about.
Yeah, about those hard-earned mistakes.
Yeah, exactly.
So we're going to finish. And to kind of move on a little bit from talent and skill, there's this mythical...
It's not mythical, I don't think. If it's what you think, what I think you're going to say.
Okay. There's something that we call the X Factor, and I think they even made a TV show about it.
What do you mean you think they made a TV show about it? Surely you've heard of the X Factor.
Is it actually called that, though?
It is.
Okay, it is.
Trying to be cool.
I know.
That's
going to get edited out.
No it is. This is great. We're going for no edits. So... what is, except for the TV show, we don't need to talk about that.
Yeah.
What is the X Factor? How do you know if you have it? And if you don't have it, can you get it?
Okay. X Factor is the thing that you're born with. But everyone has a certain amount of X Factor. It's just whether, you know, X Factor is made up of a lot of different components. And everyone, every person on the planet has X Factor of some sort. But X Factor can be affected by things like confidence, or low self-esteem, all those kinds of things. So most people, a good percentage of the population, hide their X Factor because they're scared of it. Because, you know, everyone has the experience of doing something and going, oh, wow, they've got a lot of attention. You know, oops. A lot of people, and a lot of people don't want that attention.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, there are people out there who actually do want that attention. And so they thrive on it. So their X Factor comes out.
Mm.
But there are some people who have massive doses of X Factor and they embrace it. And, you know, Johnny Depp is one who comes to mind immediately. Meryl Streep comes to mind. Eddie Murphy, you know, I'm thinking actors, but I know, I'm thinking sort of the big names. But they're big names for a reason.
Mm.
You know, they've got that X Factor. You know, Liam Neeson. Everyone takes... I actually think his X Factor is in his voice, because everyone repeats his lines.
Yeah, you know?
So maybe it's his voice, I don't know. But
have you seen him doing those skits with Ricky Gervais and Stephen Merchant?
No.
Oh, my God.
Are they good?
They're brilliant.
Oh, I have to go and looking for those. No, I haven't seen those.
Deadpan.
Okay, I'll go on. I definitely have to see that.
Mm.
But the thing is that I think that there are some people who have really large doses of it, and it's almost like it controls their life, it runs their life. It drives them in a way that they are completely sort of... they're out of control of it. You know, they can't control it. It just happens. And they're very special people, and they have a massive amount. I mean, I think of in latter-day times, you know... Adam Lambert was one for me. I mean, it comes out of his pores, you know, and that's just...
Now he's touring with Queen.
Yes, yeah. And I mean, the first time I saw him on the TV show, which we won't name, I said, oh, wow. You know, and it was just on TV. You know, goodness knows what he's like in a live performance.
Yeah.
But, you know, hey, I mean, Steven Tyler. I mean, yeah, Freddie Mercury, you can...
I mean, yeah, the list of musicians.
This is the thing that I'm saying, you know, that it's not something that's rare.
Yeah.
It's just whether you let it out and how much of it you have. And most people are scared of it.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, I mean, if you talk to people, they'll go... If you actually put them in a scenario and say, have you ever felt... that, you know, you did something and it created a result that made you sort of go, oh my gosh, how did I do that?
Mm.
Then that's what X Factor is, and you let it out just for that little moment. Did you feel comfortable with it? And if you didn't, then you're probably not a performer.
Yeah. Okay, so rather than if you don't have it, how do you get it? I think what we've reached is everyone has it, but whether they know how to tap it and whether they... Not only that, but whether they are comfortable enough to reveal the full extent of it.
Yes.
Their wild side or their, you know, whatever it is.
The magic.
That makes them intrinsically them.
Yeah.
That's what separates us.
You know, most people, and Naomi Watts was the actor I was talking about earlier who was being the chameleon. She was hiding her X Factor. Because she was being somebody else. Because she was being a people pleaser, you know. And the worst thing a musician or an artist can be is a people pleaser, because then you're constantly tailoring your performance to other people. People will love you if you're genuine and you're authentic.
Mm.
But if you're constantly going, oh, no, I need to change up because I need to appeal to this person, you're never going to please all of the people all of the time.
Yeah.
So if you're authentic... then that enables what I believe is your X Factor to come out, and people will love you for it.
And that's it.
And that's it. It's as simple as that.
Okay. Now, authenticity is the key.
Yes, it is. And I think that, you know, the problem with authenticity is that people are, and particularly artists, if they have low self-esteem, which most of them do, if they're doubtful about their talent, if they've been knocked back and taken, you know, hey, an artist's life is rejection. Mm. You know, I mean, 1 in 100 is going to be a positive result, if you like, if you're lucky. So really, you've got to somehow find the inner resources to build your self-esteem and your confidence and to believe in yourself so that you can be authentic. Because if you don't have that, then you won't be, because you're constantly trying to please other people.
Well put.
Thank you.
And that is that. Thank you very much, Sharon.
My pleasure. I've enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And that's the podcast for this week. Thank you so much for listening and or watching if you're getting this on YouTube. The Musicians Map podcast is part of the Musicians Map website, www.musiciansmap.org, where you can find lots more articles and videos, as well as my ebook and audiobook about growing success in music. In that book, you'll find experienced-based advice about every aspect of learning music, from listening and learning an instrument to recording, gigging, touring, and making money as a musician. For those of you wanting to get serious about your musical journey, I also offer one-on-one development sessions and song critiques, which are honestly an incredible way to gain the focus and direction required to achieve your goals, whatever they may be. I've also got a free 5-day challenge to a clear musical pathway. In the 5-day challenge, you will learn how to define your taste and clear your path, how to expand your horizons and exploit your musical potential, how to become a better musician just by listening, how to discover your niche and make it work for you, and how to set achievable goals and actually follow through. And it's totally free. So once again, head to www.musiciansmap.org to take advantage of all the resources on offer. Thank you so much for listening to what was my first podcast. I've got some crazy awesome guests coming up over the next few weeks, so make sure to subscribe and keep up to date. Also, please get in touch with your comments, suggestions, and let me know what challenges you're facing at the moment. Go to the Musicians Map Facebook group and join up and let's have a talk. I always try to respond. Okay, that's it. Thank you very much. Stay positive.